Dr. Brenna Hughes, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So because of a suspected link between Zika and a birth defect called microcephaly, the CDC has been recommending that all pregnant women who've traveled to a Zika-affected area be tested for the infection. And I'm wondering, that sounds like a really tall order. How is this going to work practically in Rhode Island?
That is a great question, and we are working very closely with the Rhode Island Department of Health and the CDC in order to orchestrate that testing. We don't yet know how many women this will actually affect in our state. And so whether the CDC has the infrastructure to be able to support all of that testing, both in Rhode Island and across the nation, remains to be seen.
Do you mean collecting all the samples, getting them tested on time, getting results back on time?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In our state, we will be asking doctors to contact the State Department of Health for approval before they can submit testing. So there's a phone number for them to call for approval. And there's a series of questions and a series of forms that need to be completed by the doctor's office before a patient can be tested. And so once all of that happens, then the testing of the mom takes place. Her blood is sent through the Department of Health to the CDC, and then the results will be completed and then sent back to the Department of Health for dissemination to the doctors in our state. But we have started sending samples from our state. I know that we don't have any confirmed cases in our state yet.
And let's just define microcephaly before we move on. If you haven't been following the story, in Brazil in particular, there's been a big rise in the number of babies born with smaller head circumferences. Can you just describe this birth defect and how common it is otherwise?
Yes, so microcephaly is exactly as you said. It is a smaller head than what we would expect to see, and that can be caused by various different causes. It can be caused by damage to the brain tissue so that the brain doesn't grow, and therefore that's why the head is small. But if you think about the nation as a bell curve, some people's heads are going to be small and some people's heads are going to be large. And what we don't know is whether every baby that has a small head under that cutoff number actually is going to have a problem or not.
Women and Infants Dr. Brenna Hughes, tell me a little bit about what happens if a pregnant woman gets a diagnosis that she's been infected. Let's say this is your patient. What happens next? What does she do with that information? It's got to be devastating.
So there is a process of counseling that needs to happen, and some of it depends on the mom's gestational age and whether or not there are ultrasound findings. So a mom might have a blood test that shows that she's been infected. That doesn't necessarily mean that her fetus has been infected. We need to do an ultrasound. We might need to do an amniocentesis to decide whether or not the fetus is actually infected. And then we talk to the mom about the different options, depending on how far along she is in the pregnancy. It might be that if there are severe abnormalities on her ultrasound and she is at a small rural hospital, consideration might be given to having her delivery at a tertiary care hospital where there are high-risk neonatologists available to care for her baby. Or if she's early enough, she may elect to terminate if the anomaly is severe enough. We don't, unfortunately, have treatment to offer patients at this point in utero, and so that counseling will be quite difficult. I personally have not had to do it yet in the Rhode Island, but certainly we anticipate that this will come up across the country with various women who have traveled.
And we should say, of course, that the link between Zika virus and microcephaly has not been definitively established.
That's true. It has not been definitively established. At this point, there was an increase in the rates of microcephaly noted in Brazil in particular, at the same time that there was an increase in the rates of Zika virus in that same area. It is an association. It has not been found to be causal by any stretch, and that work is ongoing.
women who are planning on getting pregnant or who may be pregnant might be worried about traveling themselves, or they might be worried about a partner who has traveled to a region affected by Zika, because we now know about several cases of sexual transmission of this virus. What do you tell your patients about this particular risk?
This is probably the most common question I get and is in some ways the most difficult. At this point, the CDC is recommending that women who are currently or trying to become pregnant not travel to affected areas. They are not recommending that women who have traveled to affected areas delay becoming pregnant once they return. In general, we think that the virus lasts in the blood for about 1 to 2 weeks, and we think that it is likely safe after that for a woman to try to become pregnant. That said, it is possible that in men it can last longer, and that sexual transmission could last a little bit longer than that short period of time. And the short answer is we just don't know, and that is why the CDC recommends that partners of pregnant women use condoms for the remainder of the pregnancy if they have traveled. Mm-hmm. However, whether or not they should delay pregnancy is really unclear, and at this point probably not recommended, certainly not for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. It might be wise to wait a month or two, but probably not the years that have been talked about in some media areas.
And, you know, there's been so much media attention on Zika virus, myself included. This is a really scary thing, the idea that you could be bitten by a mosquito, get a virus, and then be carrying a child with really severe birth defects. But, you know, we were talking earlier when you first arrived here about the fact that there are so many other infectious agents to be concerned about that cause many more problems. Can you kind of put this in perspective for us?
Yes, so I do think that Zika virus is something for pregnant women to be concerned about, and heeding the CDC's travel recommendations are probably wise. If you don't need to travel, you're just going on vacation, it might be best to avoid those kinds of travel. But to put it in context, there are many more common infections that I worry about every day for pregnant women here in Rhode Island. The most common being right now influenza, and that is something that we can prevent with vaccines. And so I'd certainly like to see our pregnant women that I see in the clinic be worried enough to uptake the influenza vaccine to avoid that infection. And then cytomegalovirus or CMV is another common infection. Mm-hmm. It's the most common congenital viral infection, one that we don't talk about very much, but we see here in the U.S. every day. And so I see Zika as another one of these infections that we should worry about some, but probably don't need to get too worried about so that we paralyze ourselves.
Dr. Brenna Hughes is a maternal fetal medicine expert and infectious disease specialist with Women and Infants Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.